We're reading Kabbalah for Beginners, Peace in the World, page 534. You can ask us questions live on www.kab.tv. Chosen questions referring to the studied material will be aired. Shalom in the World, Peace in the World, page 534. Good and bad are evaluated by the action of the individual towards society. He tells us up to here that humanity incarnates from a state which it was created thousands of years ago, and by the development of the will to receive within us from generation to generation, we develop gradually, degree by degree, step by step through different conditions, till we come to the recognition of evil in each and every condition. And each condition can exist until we recognize the evil in it to such an extent where we must leave the current state, and then we build the next condition. And in it we have the same development in which we are until the evil, its evil is revealed in it, and again we leave it, and we come to the next condition. Namely, that each good condition, it could be built only on the ruins of the previous condition, which also seemed good for us, but later on it was revealed as bad. And the difference between the good condition in the beginning and the bad condition, which seems to him later on, it doesn't depend on the condition itself, but it depends on our ever-growing ego. And during our existence in a certain condition, we begin to reveal to its depth the absence of fulfillment to the ever-growing ego. And therefore we define that what seemed to us previously as good now is bad. It's not that the condition itself changed. The data besides our vessel, and the same as he says that if a person takes his hand and he moves it, he shifts it from the table to the chair, or from the chair to the table, he has to have fuel for it, energy, which allows him to carry out this action. Which fuel could there be? If I feel bad in the current state, and it seems to me that I will feel better in the next state. This is actually the fuel for motion, for movement. And then this fuel says we have the current bad state and the future good state. And this is the whole matter. Either I'm standing in the current state until it will become bad and I escape to a certain condition which seems to me as good. This means we advance according to the path of suffering. Or I stand in the current state, but to begin with I think, what could be a better state? And then, before I reveal the evil necessarily, I reveal for myself the reason, the energy, in order to move, shift to the better condition. From here we have the same method, which we work by in the group. The main force we're supposed to receive from the group is the power of the greatness of the Creator, the greatness of the goal. It is worthwhile for me to exchange my current condition for a more advanced condition. This is the purpose of creation, because by this I speed up my development. And since that thing is the most perfect, best possible state of all conditions, and if I accept it, it means I advance not by suffering, but by the path of light, the Torah. This is what he's going to explain to us now. That the good and the evil are evaluated by the action of the individual towards society. That necessarily society, which receives from me a certain action of mine, from it I can receive a better, more correct discernment. I can receive the targeting for the true goal. Before we examine the correction of the evil in the human species, we must first determine the value of those abstract terms, good and bad. Meaning, when we define an act or an attribute as good or bad, we should clarify whom that attribute or act benefits. To understand that, we must thoroughly know the proportional value between the individual and the collective, meaning between the individual and the collective within which this individual lives, and by which he is provided for both in matter and in spirit. Reality shows us that there is no right to exist for an isolated individual without a sufficient number of people around him to serve him and help him provide for his needs. Hence, a person is initially born to live a social life, and each and every individual in society is like a wheel that is linked to several other wheels on the same machine. And the single wheel has no freedom of movement in and of itself, but it continues with the motion of all the other wheels in a certain direction for the machine to perform its general purpose. This is clear. If it's not clear for us in humanity, then it should gradually be revealed now in the whole global crisis. I want to ask one thing. What comes first, the individual or society? What does it mean, comes? I don't get it, what it means, comes. In recognition, in birth, and what does it mean, comes? He refers here to... He refers here to a certain process. He explains a certain process. Comes an importance I don't get on behalf of reality. In reality, first of all, there was one man. Afterwards, there was the condition of the breaking of the kli, separation into many vessels, which are called souls. And now this kli, which was shattered into many, many pieces, has to get back together from all the parts, have to come back together into one kli. How? By the light performing this action, but in the precision of the deficits of the parts in that kli. Each and every private soul has to ask of the light to make the to make that action of connection to that general kli. Towards each and every soul, the kli is corrected. It's in the end of correction. Only that soul, it has to be corrected. So what comes first? I don't know. What do you mean in general or in particular? When I'm brought to the group, I'm already brought to the final condition. There is a group. I come to it, and I must find my place there. I can't come up and say, look, what you're doing is not okay. Let's do it differently. But I come. If this group is according what it seems to me, I must examine where I am, maybe look for a different group. If according to the books they study, if according to the goal which they have, I feel that it is adequate for me, then I only have to receive from them all the conditions of how I'm included within. So, what is first here? The general or the particular? Of course, the general and the particular has to subjugate himself towards the majority, towards the rule, the general. The importance regarding the advancement, and importance, there is no such question. The majority defines, but not the majority on the street, which are the still, but the majority, which is called the group, because it is the system of Adam HaRishon. We're talking about a group which advances towards the purpose of creation. So it's not like when we talk about the majority on the street, but it's the majority of souls. And together in our world, they bring the power of light, the power of correction. If a certain person in the world wants to receive the power of correction, he has no choice. The same as we learn here in the article of free choice and the bond, he has to be incorporated within the group, within this rule. He has no other choice. He could be a great philosopher. He could write for himself different methods. But in our world, there is a very simple condition, a group, whoever is included in it can receive the force, the power to advance, and whoever is not included, he can't. It's unequivocally, the Kabbalists say this unequivocally. Therefore, we must build a group, strengthen the group, each time expand it, and reinforce it. This is all of our action. Because there is no other source of receiving the spiritual light. Through the group, you draw the light, because the light exists within the group. If you wish to incorporate yourself, intermingle with them, this is the place you draw the light for the private correction from. That's the place where you're supposed to integrate yourself into them. And this means that you reunite, reconnect like before the breaking to that soul. And what you reveal by your connection, you reveal the Creator, the light of the Creator, which comes from the Divinity. The Divinity is the total of the souls connected into one Kli. Evgeny from Jerusalem is asking, how is it possible to define what good and bad is? Isn't it form abstracted from matter which we cannot investigate? We'll see. And also, and if there is some breakdown in the wheel, it is not evaluated relating to the wheel itself according to the service and the role it performs in the machine in general. We never talk about the machine in general, but how useful or harmful it is towards the general Kli, to the measure of its development. Meaning, if according to my development, I have to participate to a certain measure in the general Kli, and I'm not participating to that measure, but less than that, then the difference between what I do and what I must do is the measure of corruption. Namely, my correction is taking into calculation what I have attained, and my development, which I was supposed to attain to all the phenomena, then accordingly I'm led to see the complete condition, all the sufferings. For instance, this is the group. I was supposed to already be cleaved onto it to this measure. And with my exertion, I'm cleaved onto it, unfortunately, only to this measure. So the difference between these conditions, it is felt by me as suffering. The forces which compel me to complete this condition. Is it clear? No, let's continue. And also in our subject matter, the benefit of each and every individual within his collective is evaluated not according to his own benefit, but according to his service to the public, and vice versa. We appreciate the attribute of evil of each and every individual only according to the harm one inflicts upon the public in general, and not by one's own individual value. The truth and by the benefit in these things are crystal clear, because the collective has only what the individual has, and the benefit of the collective is the benefit of each and every individual. He who harms the collective takes his part in the harm, and he who benefits the collective takes his part in benefit, because individuals are part of the whole, and the whole is not worth more than the sum of its individuals. It turns out that the collective and individual are one and the same thing, and the individual is not harmed because of his enslavement to the collective, because the freedom of the collective and the freedom of the individual are one and the same thing, and just as they share the good, they also share the freedom. Thus, good attributes and bad attributes, good deeds and bad deeds are valued only according to the benefit of the public. Of course, the above words apply if all the individuals perform their role towards the public to the fullest and receive no more than they deserve and take no more than their friends share. But if a part of the collective does not behave accordingly, it turns out that only do they harm the collective, but they are also harmed. We also know. We should not discuss further something that is known to all, and a foresight is only to show the drawback, meaning the place that needs correction, and that is that each and every individual will understand that his own benefit and the benefit of the collective are one and the same, and that the world will attain its fullest correction. Are there any questions regarding this matter? What is the connection between the good and... What's the connection between freedom and good? The same way they divide the good, they also divide the freedom. Where are you reading this? Above, first paragraph. We understand that the public and the individual are one and the same. To the extent to which the individual is corrupt, the public will be corrupted to the same measure. Look, if we're talking about cogwheels, all of us being together, if each and every one does not feel himself in it to the measure he doesn't feel himself in it, he doesn't change the picture itself. He only changes his participation. What does it mean, the freedom of the individual? What am I in free? What is my freedom in? Me being in the cogwheel, me being a cogwheel among the rest of the wheels. I am a cogwheel, and here there are different other cogwheels. All of them. Each and every one of us is a cogwheel. True? What's the freedom in? And this is a non-changing picture. It's a constant picture. Come on, tell me. Here, behind many, many people, there is one more person. He turns like he feels like. And of course, all of these turns, they reach me. This is someone and this is me. Where is my freedom? Or where is his freedom from me when I turn myself oppositely? He wants to turn in one condition, and I wish to turn in the other direction. I do understand what he wants. How do I know? Billions of wheels. So where is my freedom? Yes. He answers this question on 534, the machine. The machine. 534. One machine that the single wheel, it continues with the rest of the wheels in order to make the machine prepared. And if there's a corruption in one wheel, it is only according to its service to the general machine, meaning the motion together is a must. It is the mechanism. The system is built this way, and there's no change in it. The question is regarding the desire or the agreement. Merely. There's no more than that. Desire and agreement. Free choice. This is what we're talking about. If you're turning, you're certainly turning with everyone together. You have no choice. But you're given a feeling to which extent you want it or don't want it. This is our whole life between the desired and what is found, to which the measure to which I want to participate in that action and the measure to which I necessarily participate. So we don't see the actions themselves, but what is revealed to us, this whole world is revealed to us as the difference between the conditions, the deficit which I see, and in each and every condition in general. I see my absence yet, the measure to which I do not identify myself, I do not equalize in my desire with the motion which necessarily everyone goes through. The world gives me the general picture of the absence of the desires and the motion. Moses from Los Angeles is asking, how does the harm, how is it shown in each individual in the group, and do you physically feel this harm? Not being compared in the same motion, it is measured according to the development of that group. For instance, his group, we know him. He's a good friend of ours. The group is developing. It goes through different conditions. Most of them are Israelis. We saw him, we got to know that group a couple of months ago. We can't talk about the beginner's group, to which extent it is useful, harmful, anyone coming in there, because still when they build themselves, they're, child sicknesses. Like in small children, there is a certain amount of changes, of things which one has to go through. And you can't become a grown-up without going through these problems. But in general, after the group already exists as a group, then certainly only in the general participation of all of its friends you reached advanced state. It could be a group of beginners which advances rapidly. It could be a group of seniors and their problems suddenly revealed there and absence of agreement and they do not advance. Sometimes there are such examples and it's a pity to see them. We're expecting them on our Congress and then we shall clarify all these conditions. Page 535. The four attributes, mercy, truth, justice, and peace, in the individual and the collective. Once we know fully well the desired attribute of goodness, we should examine the things and the means that are at our disposal in order to hasten the delight and happiness. There are four properties for that purpose: mercy, truth, justice, and peace. Meaning, in order to aim us, in whatever, by whatever we could affect our destiny in order to reach the perfect thing in which we are in the world of infinity, only not in consciousness. Since we see the gap between the measure to which I want to see it or don't want to see it, the gap is called this world. I'm opposite to Ein Sof. I don't want it. I'm not yearning to be there. So, how do we come to the change within us from changing ourselves from this world to the world of Ein Sof? He says there are four forces, qualities, which affect us, and in the proper work together with them, we can move to that true goal. Chesed Emet, Tzedek, and Shalom. Those attributes were used by all the world reformers thus far. It is more correct to say that it is with those four attributes that human development has advanced thus far through the government of heaven in a gradual path until it brought mankind to its current situation. How does he put it subtly? It is more correct, more true that these four measures made the human development and these four attributes, but how has humanity developed thus far? The government of heaven is a gradual path until it brought mankind to its current situation. Meaning up till now, mankind has developed by these four forces from above necessarily, without any questions, without interfering itself, but simply so forced from above. We advanced, we did, we made revolutions, we revealed different things, we didn't do anything. Only the upper providence worked on us this way by the Chesed Emet Tzedek and Shalom. And from here and onwards, maybe we could take these four measures, mercy, truth, justice, and peace, and develop ourselves. It has already been written that it would be better for us to take the law of development under our own hands and government, because then we will rid ourselves of any torment that the development history has in store for us from this day forth. Thus, we should scrutinize and examine those four attributes in order to thoroughly understand what we've been given thus far, and by them, we will know what aid we should hope to get from them in the future. Let's learn them, because certainly they are at our disposal in order to change our faith, our destiny. If we advance from here and onwards, then these four measures, they will bring us harm in all different possible combinations in order to use our consciousness, our recognition, in order to bring us to the true good. Is this clear? Yes? Is it possible to say that once it was possible to reveal the future, foresee the future, because everything was predetermined, but today, because of this ability of people to develop, we can't say what's going to happen tomorrow. Yes, it's possible to say so, and I would have said it differently. Not possible, but it's true. If once the sages of the Kabbalah, and even the scientists a bit, were able to put together plans in science, assumptions. Everything advanced without the human component, where we could interfere with the development, but we developed by the forces which merely came from above. Then everything somehow was according to the experience, according to what we see, understand. We could say how we would develop in the future. From now onwards, as the human component enters, where we ourselves have to engage, that we ourselves have to take these four qualities and by them to manage our development, we do it or we don't do it. The human component is now God in here. No one could say what will happen tomorrow. Even the prophets, which made the prophecies for the days of the Messiah, they didn't say what will happen. They said what will happen if we will not interfere the path of nature from above, how it continues, without us beginning to interfere from here on onwards. This they can't say because they are the forces which come down from above. The mercy, truth, justice, and peace. But according to our free choice, if we participate, no one could say what will happen. No one knows. Therefore, our world to this day is so unpredictable. Unpredictable. There are no plans, nothing. In science and finance, especially in economics, where there is a system which nothing, we don't know anything. In a moment, we don't know what's going to happen, and it becomes more and more obvious for us. The lack of the absence of control and this component, the human component, begins to be more and more clear for us. We do not use it. And to the measure to which we don't use it, then the suffering and their temp increases. We always say that the development of humanity is the function of the development of the will to receive through the four stages. And we reach a certain point and to spirituality. So, and we ordinarily don't talk about these measures. We're talking about the development of the will to receive. How to tie these measures with the four phases of direct light, or the spheres of Kachaptum, or the degrees of the worlds, or the three lines. We'll learn it in a moment. We'll learn. I understand. How come we never heard? Well, mercy, okay, there is the sphira for mercy. Truth, there is no such sphira. Justice, peace, there are no such thing in the sphirot. We are learning about the spiritual structure, which are the 10 sphirot, lights, vessels, reshimot, screens. How come there is certain chesed, peace? It's something which does not exist in the spiritual potsuf, which is the whole of the creature. How come they suddenly float up here? And how to work with them? Where do they come? Where do they come from? We know Chma Chasadim, measures of Aviyut, the power of Zakut, of Koshiyut, of Shimot. It's completely opposed to Kabbalah. It's true. The question is to its place. Ask once a lesson, I promised you. There is truly a certain system of the four forces. I understand these forces exist. The question is, whether do we need to reveal them in a certain place? Guys, I don't know, you're asking me. I'm learning with you for the first time. Let me also enjoy. Maybe there will be a renewal here. Practical difficulties in determining the truth. One discusses good attributes in theory. There is certainly no better attribute than the attribute of truth, because all the goodness that we have defined above in the relationship between the individual and the collective is when the individual gives and places part towards the collective and also takes his share from the collective justly and honestly. All that is but truth. But the drawback is that, in fact, the collective not at all accepts this attribute. Thus, the practical difficulty in the above truth is proven from itself that there is some drawback and a cause that makes it unacceptable to the collective. And we have to examine what is the drawback. The truth is clear. The truth, it is called our perfect participation in the system of the souls, and so that our perfect participation will be in the system of the souls. So this world will compare with the world of Ein Sof. And this is the picture which it's impossible to say. It's not ideal. It's not the correct one. It's not truth. Truth, it's so this is the way it is. Can this truth exist or not? Can we approach it or not? This is the question. But everyone participating in one system, it's necessary. It doesn't depend on us. This is the way we exist, including in all the system. And then each and every one fulfilling his role completely. This is the law of that same system. There's nothing to say here. And this is the measure of truth. The only question is that even if we want, for instance, even if we want it, there is the system of souls here, the sum of souls, and we want to come to perfection. Are we capable of doing it? This is the question. For instance, the whole world now unanimously says, that's it. We've suffered enough. From here and onwards, we don't care about anything. What was up till here, we burn it down. There are no differences. Nothing, no. Only tell us how to realize each and every one his role. For instance, I receive a book or a disc from my computer, or I hear or don't hear, I hear orders or something. Tell me what to do, so I'll perform it 100%. Say he'll have the will for it, the desire. Is he capable of doing it or not? What will interfere with him from within? This is the question. Because the decision which a person receives, him wanting to reach the truth, the participation with everyone together, it is a decision. By suffering, we can reach such a decision. A person can say, merely tell me what to do. Maybe also a lot of people come up to you and tell you, tell me, what did I do wrong? Why does it happen with me? This is what people ordinarily say. And almost everyone wants to say it or says it. In other words, tell me what to do in order for me not to receive beatings. Tell me what to do, I'm prepared. So if a person is already prepared, I'm prepared, this is the I, and I'm prepared, I want to be positive. Only am I capable, even though I'll hear, to necessarily understand what it means, the proper participation with everyone together? Will I be able to criticize myself in order to know that I truly participate with everyone properly? And will I be able to correct myself each and every time and bring myself to the complete participation, to the full participation? The measure of truth, are we capable of realizing it? This is a question. Because if we aren't, how can I demand it of someone? And how will I take it upon myself? If this thing is unrealistic, so what does he say? When you closely examine the above truth from the perspective of its practical feasibility, you'll find the necessarily vague and complicated, and it is impossible for the human eye to scrutinize it. Why? For truth necessitates us to equalize all individuals in the collective to receive their share according to their labor, no more and no less. And this is the one true basis which cannot be doubted, for it is certain that anyone who wants to enjoy the labor of his friend, his acts are against the above reason and clear truth. The problem is that each and every one has to take into consideration each and every one according to his specific gravity, according to his specific labor, as much as he is capable, in which conditions he is, which is his position in the general system, what has he done and what could he do regarding all of these conditions. And we see how we go wrong in it, both in health, in medicine, in education. The reference towards children. At the age of 5, he has to be one way or another. If we'll inquire the matter, we'll find out that Einstein was completely stupid during school. They didn't know how to read and write till the age of 10, maybe. And no, this is the age of 5, this is the age of 6. We don't have the proper scale, the proper measure towards man himself, what he's supposed to be, because we don't understand him. We can count according to a general ruler, meaning the main thing in the implementation of the measure of truth is that we're incapable of feeling man's soul, who he is, which general role he is in the system of souls, which private condition is he in now. Maybe currently he is in ascent, descent, ill, don't know what's happening with him. And what precisely is the general condition of the system of souls which demands him one thing or another according to a certain condition? And only after all of this can we evaluate his participation, to which extent he participates or doesn't. See how many things, and all of this is concealed from us. We need to know in order to refer to a person properly, and also to ourselves, by the way, each one towards himself. Yes? Miguel from Mexico is asking, in the group, how is it possible to discern what is good for the group, or is it simply needed to follow it? If the group studies from true books, if the group learns from true books how it is supposed to be built, and which relation should there be between the friends, then you have to remain in that same group with those same people and to try that what you learn will exist, period. All the rest, we'll wait for it to come. Yes? But how do we think that we can examine, clarify, or scrutinize that truth in a way that it is acceptable to the collective? For example, if we evaluate something according to the apparent labor, meaning according to the number of hours, and we compel each and everyone to work an equal amount of hours, still we will not discover the attribute of truth at all. Moreover, there is an evident lie here for two reasons. The first is the physical side, and the second is the mental side of the work. That is because by nature the power to work is not equal. With each and every person, from society, labors in 1 hour of work because of his weakness a lot more than his friend who works 2 hours or more. And there is also a psychological matter here, because he who is very lazy by nature exhausts himself in hour more than his friend in 2 hours or more. And from the perspective of the obvious truth, we should not compel one part of society to labor more than the other part of whoever is born weak or strong or lazy or not that bright. Then he exerts himself much more in order to survive in society than he who is clever or quick or... Is it just? Let's say leave justice alone. But if we consider all people according to what they manufacture, then certainly each and every one will have to give a different exertion here. And the truth tells him that each one has to give the same exertion. So how can we, without knowing these discernments on behalf of nature and each and every one, how smart or wise is someone, how strong he is, how quick, and only accordingly to demand of him. We'll demand of the weak less, and from the strong we'll demand more. If it's according to the age, if it's according to things which are obvious to the eye, seen to the eye, then it's possible I demand of a grown-up child more than of a small child, according to what it seems to me, at least. But here, his qualities, the qualities of his character, his inner state, everything is concealed. How is it on a scale of all of humanity, 6 billion people, how can we talk about the existence of such a relation? How to weigh? And therefore, the measure of truth, it can't exist in our world. What does he say? In fact, the naturally strong and nimble in society benefit from the labor of others and exploit them maliciously against the attribute of truth, because they labor very little compared to the weak and the lazy in society. We see it. Bright people, strong people, quick people, at a time that others advance a bit in this life, they bypass them and they exploit them, they become their managers, their landlords. Why? Because he was born with a couple of forces stronger than mine. There's no justice here, there's no truth here regarding people. So what do we do? And if we also consider the natural law of going with the majority, then such truth that takes into account the number of hours of apparent work is completely unfeasible, because the weak and the lazy are always the vast majority in society, and they will not allow the nimble and strong minority exploit their strength and labor. Meaning, immediately there is here a different problem. In the upper providence, look how it is created. Those outstanding in power and in mind, they are the few, and the lazy and the weak are the majority. And then, to the measure to which they have, to the measure to which they outstand in forces. But in number, there are few. And those have absence of, they're not outstanding, but in strength or in mind. But they are standing out in amount, in quantity, and it becomes like scissors. There's always tension between them. Those are the majority, but the weak majority, but because they're the majority, they have the power of the majority. And those which are the outstanding ones, because they're outstanding, although they're outstanding, although they're the not in majority, but they are ruling. And they're concentrating on struggle. Those are few. Those are the majority. Those are weak, those are strong. And then it turns out that this meeting, they never come to be equal. They never compare. Thus you see that the above basis, which is the labor of the individual on the condition of the obvious truth, and with it, the most part of society is completely unfeasible because it cannot be examined and evaluated in any way. Thus you find that the attribute of truth hasn't the practical ability to organize the path of the individual and the path of the collective in an absolute and satisfactory manner, and it cannot completely and satisfactorily organize life at the end of the correction and of the world. Furthermore, there are great difficulties here because there is no clearer truth than nature itself. And it is natural that each and every individual feels himself in the world of the Creator as a sole ruler, that everyone that is created besides him was not created but only to ease and improve his life to such an extent that he feels no obligation whatsoever to give anything in return. And in simple words, we shall say that the nature of each and every individual is to exploit the lives of all other people in the world for his own benefit, and all that he gives to another in only out of necessity. Even in that there is exploitation, but it is done cunningly so that his friend will not feel it. On behalf of nature, there are many obstacles here. In order to come and weigh each and every one according to the measure of truth, because to begin with, we can't want it. And even if we would have wanted it, we're incapable because our vision is corrupt. Nonetheless, I always see myself, whether I want it or not, in the center of the world. And as much as I will turn myself and telling myself I wish to be objective, not in my ego, etc., I will nevertheless turn myself so that everything must be for my own sake, because we are as a result of the upper force which has created us, and from it we have the sensation of uniqueness in each and every one. And here it is impossible that I myself will find the forces the way I am created in this world, so that I have the ability to manage myself objectively. And it will always be for my own good, for my own benefit, and always without consideration towards the others, but only in order to use them. There is no way to hide from this. Therefore, the measure of truth. As much as we would like to manage it, we don't have the ability neither to see the others, neither to see the generality of the system, how everyone participates in it, fits into it, not how each and every one received his forces from nature and forces. And also we ourselves are incapable of seeing the truth in the others. In order to bring this truth from myself and from the others to the generality of the whole world, therefore the measure of truth, to begin with, it's simply denied of us, and in our world it is revealed, not within me, not in others, not in my relation towards the others, but it exists in our corrupt ideal. Yes? Yes? we just said that it is forbidden to weigh according to the result. How can we refer to things we receive here in corporeality? Sorry, it's impossible to hear. Forbidding to weigh things according to result, do we have to refer to it in spirituality? You said a couple of things together. I'm confused. First of all, our relation to the group. This we learn, and that we don't learn according to the measure of truth. He'll come soon to these conclusions. What's the result of our not being able to introduce rule truth and also in education? Maybe it's still early to provoke the questions. Keep them. And the reason for this is that the nature of every branch is close to its root, and because the soul of man extends from the Creator, who is one and unique, and everything is His, therefore, so is man, who extends from Him, feels that all the people in the world should be under His own government and for His own private use. A couple of announcements before we end. We invite you to be with us during the end, after the lesson, watch Bokero, the morning show, which will open your morning with a lot of hope, and ask the Kabbalist today, Thursday, 8:30 p.m. The program is on Community TV, Mikan, Channel 98, and on our Kabbalah internet site. Questions will be taken on www.kb.tv or on 1-700-209-509. The lectures of Rav Lightman in Bet Kabbalah Lam, they take place Tuesdays, 7 p.m., and Thursdays, 9 a.m., Jabotinsky Street, 112, Petah Tikva. We'll conclude. Thank you to all our viewers, and have a great day.